your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, hockey fans. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we look at the biggest stories, news, trends, weird facts, mascot shenanigans, whatever, that are going on in the National Hockey League. My name is Sarah Avampato. I'm host of Locked On Kings, joined by my usual partner in crime, Tom Gazzola, from a whole bunch of different places. And today we're going to talk about what is going on in the wide world of hockey on the left side of the map. And we're going to start out with something that happened on our side of the map, and that was the outdoor games at Lake Tahoe, which, because the NHL is the NHL, didn't exactly go off without a hitch. But at the end of the day, it was something beautiful, something new and different, and we had some interesting games on both days out in Lake Tahoe. So, Tom, what were your feelings? What was going through your mind as you were watching these games and seeing hockey played on a very different outdoor surface than we're usually used to seeing?
Yeah, and a beautiful one, absolutely. I'll reemphasize that as well. It looked picturesque, gorgeous. The ice snow-capped mountains in the background with the lake just off to the side on the 18th fairway of a nice golf course. Like, that was beautiful. But Sarah, honestly, when you saw right before opening faceoff of that Avalanche Golden Knights game, I just about said Quebec Nordiques Las Vegas Thunder game. And I know I was throwing that out there on Saturday and a little bit on Friday too, because those uniforms that they wore, I thought were beautiful too. But when you saw the ice crews working on the blue line before the opening faceoff, I immediately thought to myself, uh-oh, that's not good. And that's because I ended up covering an outdoor game in Sacramento between the Stockton Heat and the Bakersfield Condors 3 or 4 years ago. And then the next year, Bakersfield also had an outdoor game, that time in Bakersfield. Both of them had really bad weather issues. The one in Bakersfield was like a torrential downpour in the middle of a drought. And then the one the year before in Stockton was supposed to start at a AAA ballpark around, I think it was 3 or 4 p.m. local time. And the exact same thing happened where there was enough sun. It wasn't too warm in terms of actual temperature and heat, but there was enough sun hitting the ice and it was being absorbed by the paint in the ice. So like the blue lines and the circles and the dots were all slushy and they had to delay that game, wait till the sun to go down. And then when it did go down, there was another like massive downpour. So I was at two games in Northern California that got rained out or rain delayed. And the first one in Sacramento was because they had to wait for the sun to go down because the paint in the ice was melting it. And that's exactly what we saw in Lake Tahoe. So I knew, I'm like, this is bad. And even the Heritage Classic in Winnipeg, Sarah, when it was the Oilers and the Jets in 2016, I had to cover that one. That one got delayed due to the sun also. And it was like a 3-hour delay. So I was surprised that they got through the first period. You watch the refs and some of the players during stoppages, like all of a sudden hitting a soft spot on the ice and falling down. And I was like, how did they not delay this? So they ended up eventually doing it. They had an 8-hour first intermission, which is crazy. You know, you got the first period full of those wonderful photos and all of that. And then they figured it out. They pushed back the game the next day and it went off pretty much without a hitch. But I like the idea. And I think that this might be a one and done because I think you're going to want to see butts in seats. So to make a long story long, I thought it was fantastic, but man, I knew right when they were trying to start the game and they had the crew on the ice working on it on the blue lines, I was like, this is going to be trouble.
Yeah, the fact that like every year it seems like someone has forgotten that sun is a thing is just I don't understand how every year we end up having this issue. I remember I think the Bakersfield one that you were talking about with the torrential downpour, I'm pretty sure they played the Ontario rain in that.
Yep.
Which is also funny because it's spelled different, but rain, it's a joke. But watching that game just at home, you were like, how is this happening? You know, I think we all love the charm of the Winter Classic games where it actually does snow and, you know, everyone's playing in the snowflakes and it just looks super cool. But almost every other year, sun is a huge issue. And I know that they want, you know, primetime television and try to get it in a TV slot that will get, you know, all different time zones or whatever. But, you know, does anyone want a midnight Eastern time hockey game? No, but that, you know, that's kind of the greatest, like it actually looked beautiful in as the sun was going down and it's dark and it's just the guys under the lights. Like it's just the total failure to game plan for nature and predictable nature at that is very, very NHL. And one other thing that I was thinking about with the sun is that, you know, several years ago when they did the Outdoor Classic in Boston, they had the event where they invited the women's professional hockey teams to play. And Denna Lang, who was a player for the NWHL, was actually, she's paralyzed now because right. of an injury that she sustained because of hitting a bad patch in the ice and going into the boards. And it was all because of sun and that they, you know, that's a whole topic of another podcast. You know, why did they make the women play in a situation they knew was dangerous when they never, ever would have made the Bruins or whoever was playing in that game do the same thing? But, you know, anyone who was following that when it happened, and, you know, the women are finally going to get to play in an outdoor game and it's going to be promoted by the NHL and all this stuff. Anyone watching the sun and those guys trying to like fix the slushy patches on the ice and watching people fall just over nothing. You know, that was the first thing that I could think about was, this is fun. This is beautiful. Like I hope that they continue doing stuff like this because it is something neat to watch, but man, dangerous. No one wants to see someone's career end, because their life be changed because of something that was predictable, AKA don't have a hockey game in the middle of the day outdoors where there's sun,
right.
Like, you know,
Yeah, exactly. And you make a good point. The NHL, they wouldn't put their players on the ice in that situation, and they let the women do it. And now we have a scenario where a lady's paralyzed, which is awful. And then here we are a few years later, and you've got guys who are the best of the best falling over because they're playing on ice that's substandard. It's kind of head-scratching, isn't it?
It is. And you know, I love the fact that they tried something different. And, you know, I would like to see them kind of, you know, even if it's just an exhibition game, to like, I know that it's not financially viable to do things with limited fans or whatever, but there was something kind of about the purity of just seeing the game and, you know, not having to worry about, you know, here's our big musical act and here's 20,000 drunk people and whatever. Like it was different to watch than our usual outdoor games. And I would like to see them, you know, just try, you know, everyone makes fun of the NHL for doing the same thing over and over again. They took a chance on this one and they, you know, they had a product that was, people were talking about it. Some of them are talking about it just because of that 8-hour intermission, but you know, it has generated conversation and produced two fun hockey games. I think the Bruins coming in their 80s themed clothing and David Pastrnak, you know, being annoyed that he had to go do media because they were dancing to Barbie Girl in the room, I think are things that are going to stick with people for a while. Will people remember the big sun delay a couple years from now? I don't know.
Perhaps, but they'll always have those images. And a good friend of ours and mine, Nick Alberga, I think had the tweet where he took a screen capture from like NHL 21 on one of those outdoor rinks and then put it side by side with the shot in the afternoon from Lake Tahoe. And you're like, wow, the NHL pulled it off. It mm-hmm. looks like a video game, you know, yep. Absolutely cool. But it came with a cost.
So that's the story of the NHL, I think, is one step forward, two steps back. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at a team that's struggling to stay out of the basement of their own division. But first, let's look at Built Bar. Because if you are in the mood for a delicious treat, if you are looking for some quick energy, something to fill you up while you're, you know, avoiding doing other tasks and are eating instead, maybe that's just me, you can go and check out Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar ever, so you know that if you are having a little snack on one, that it's also something good for your body. They're high in protein, high fiber, low sugar, low in calories, and yet taste pretty darn delicious. They're covered in 100% chocolate and come in 18 amazing flavors, including some really cool limited edition flavors like, cookie dough chunk, which is coming back right now for a limited amount of time. I missed out on that one the first time around, and I am going to be placing an order as soon as they're available online because everyone has said they were delicious. Of course, there are many other flavors, and the best way to find out about all the Built Bar has to offer is by going to builtbar.com. And when, of course, you fall in love with the snacks that you're looking at, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON and you get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Tiger Woods has been hospitalized after a car crash early on Tuesday morning. Locked On Today host Peter Bukowski gives you the latest details. Get more of the sports news that you need on this and many other topics in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. I wanted to talk about a team next that we have touched on a little bit on the show before, but has continued to just sort of free fall since the last time we talked about them. And that is the Nashville Predators, who I think are kind of at the precipice of having to just kind of throw their hands up and say, okay, maybe next year. They are next to last in the Central Division. They have 14 points, which is one more point than Detroit, which is probably not where they want to be. So, you know, it's still early-ish in the season, but it's also, we're getting very close to when things are going to start happening and when teams are really going to have to start seriously thinking about their playoff chances. Is this it? Is this time for Nashville to just sell off anyone who's not named like Roman Josi?
Their window is closed. I think this is what it's confirming. Yeah, you want to keep your captain. He's a tremendous player, one of the best defensemen in the league still. And, you know, we heard the other day that, you know, is David Poyle's job in question now? He's been there since day one. And it's been 24 years since they became a franchise. And he's had a hell of a long run with them. They've had some peaks. They went to the Stanley Cup final. And I think, Sarah, this is the tell that it's time to sort this out, figure it out, and you're not going to do it in a quick minute. You're going to have to rebuild this team. You're going to have to identify the pieces you want to keep moving forward. The goaltending's got to get better. Pekka Rinne is, you know, basically putting out on the 18th green with a nice cold one waiting for him on the 19th hole, basically. And I don't know if Juuse Saros is the guy that can carry this team going forward. They do have some good pieces, but the Duchesne signing hasn't really worked. The Johansson signing had a brief moment where it looked good, but now it's not really working. They do have some good pieces, but this is the tell that it's time to start retooling and the loyalty to the veterans that have been around for a long time, that are guys that might not have a lot of time left in their career. It might be time to move on and to start building and going in a new direction, which is tough to do, especially when you get so close to a Stanley Cup or you get to the last dance and you don't pull it off. And I know that's kind of in recent memory for Preds fans, but this is the sign that says, hey, it's time to probably do something with this organization, this franchise, and this roster specifically, because I don't know. I keep saying on TSN 1260 and on my show, the pre and post game show, every Oilers game day, that it's the stretch drive, Sarah. I know we're only roughly 20 games into the season for teams. Central Division's been ravaged. Obviously, we saw a million games rescheduled. The league put out an announcement on Tuesday. But I feel like we're into the stretch drive now and things are only going to ramp up. And when you're this far behind, it's going to be a tough sledding the rest of the way. So I think Nashville has to retool.
Ignoring anything like, you know, no trade, no move clauses or anything, the one contract you mentioned that is just really the albatross for poor Nashville is that Matt Duchene deal.
Mm-hmm.
What would it take for them to move him? What would they have to give up, I guess, in addition to Matt Duchene to find a team to take him? And why has Matt Duchene just been so not good in all of his stops since Colorado, really?
Well, it's interesting. You know, he had a moment in Ottawa where he looked okay. The Columbus thing, there were some games where he was a big factor and other games he was a non-factor. I'm not sure. Like, I always thought of Duchene as a true star in this league. And yeah, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's mindset, mentality, attitude. If that's what it is with Duchene, then that's a red flag. And I think other teams would pick up on that. Certainly they would. You look at his production this year through 17 games, he's got 8 points. And Sarah, that's pretty telling that he's tied for second on the team in scoring at just 8 points. At less than a half a point a game, it's telling that their offensive stars around Matt Duchene aren't clicking. As someone who's supposed to be a catalyst of offense for the team, it's not working. And if you think someone's going to take a flyer on Duchene, I think it's knowing full well that he's going to be a complementary piece as opposed to a centerpiece of an offense. I think that's kind of becoming well-known in the National Hockey League, and maybe you got to sweeten a deal like that up with a prospect or a draft pick or something like that. There might be teams that just say, no, we're going to pass on Matt Duchene. Sorry, Nashville. Sorry, David Poile. That's just your problem. We'd rather have a Philip Forsberg. We'd rather have a Victor Arvidsson. We'd rather see if you want to give up a Dante Fabro on the blue line, but I think that's one of the guys they'll want to keep moving forward for sure. That's a tough one, and this might be one of those scenarios where you look at that contract and you look at that player and his lack of production, and you go, "No, we're going to pass on any trade."
Nashville is in a tough spot, and we'll have to see if the front office realizes what the rest of us know and what they probably know too, and just aren't quite ready to pull the trigger on yet. We're going to close out the show today with a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and that is Southern California hockey. But first, let's talk betonline.ag, because sports betting is super popular right now, and if you're one of the cool kids, then you should definitely know about betonline.ag. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, of course, are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV competitions, and much more. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds that you need. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're listening to this show, of course, you already know the good news, and that is that we have great content all week long here on Locked On NHL, bringing you the greatest news all about this league. Of course, on Wednesdays, you get me and you get Tom. Tomorrow, you're going to get Chris Maselli and Adam Denker answering some listener questions and taking a dive into what's going on in the league. So whether it's a look at top-end contenders like Vegas and Colorado, or breaking down the rebuilds of the Kings, who we're going to talk about next, and the Blackhawks, Locked On NHL has you covered 5 days a week. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts. I wanted to close the show today by looking at a couple of teams that are in different sort of stages of their rebuild. And when I shot you my message with sort of some discussion ideas, I said that I was going to engage in a little bit of podcast nepotism, because the one bad thing about me hosting this show and hosting the Monday show is that I don't really get to talk about my own team very often. It feels a little weird on the Monday show to like interview myself about what's happening with the Kings. You know, I had a question from one of my listeners on Locked On Los Angeles Kings that was basically like, why does no one in the media pay attention to our team? And so here I am. I'm going to use my Locked On NHL platform to talk about the Kings, because I want to look at they're doing versus the Ducks. Because the Kings, a team that everyone has written off, that everyone has said is going to be, you know, down in that basement with Ottawa and Detroit. And, you know, they very well may still be, but they right now have a 5-game winning streak. It's the longest winning streak in the NHL. They're starting to see not only contributions from their young players, but also, you know, guys like Anze Kopitar, Dustin Brown, Jonathan Quick are all revitalized. Like, it looks like we turned the clock back to 2014 on some of them. And then you look at the Ducks, who are basically imploding. They're not getting the offense. They're not getting the defense from any of their veteran players that they thought they were going to get. The front office still seems to think that they can make the playoffs and are in a win now mode.
What?
But yes.
Oh, okay.
they still are trying, but yet they have, they waived Adam Henrik, who is now disgruntled because he has not been, handled particularly well there. They ended his consecutive games played streak by healthy scratching him. There's not a whole lot to look forward to, except for Trevor Zegras, who made his NHL debut the other night, had some limited ice time, but gave Ducks fans a little glimpse of the future. And so I just wanted to close by looking at the two California teams and just, you know, what are your thoughts, especially knowing that these are teams that, like I said, people don't really pay attention to, but is it time for A, people to start paying attention to the Kings a little bit, and B, to start looking at the Ducks to see what pieces they can pry away from them, if you can convince their front office that this is not the year?
Yeah, well, it's surprising to hear that Anaheim thinks that they might still be a playoff contender when I thought they'd be exactly where they are right from the outset. And it's funny that these are two teams going in different directions, but they're both coached by former Oilers bench bosses. And listen, Todd McClellan likes to lean on his veterans, and in his veterans with the Kings, he's got some good, solid, excellent NHL players. Anze Kopitar, what's he at? 21 points this year. There's still a lot of tread left on that tire. He's getting good performances, like you said, from Dustin Brown. They have some good up-and-coming young prospects and players. I like Gabe Vilardi. I'm interested to see how he does. And there's still guys that have been around that know what it takes to win. So McClellan, who's not great at kind of coaxing along the young up-and-comers, maybe he's learned from his prior mistakes or shortcomings in Edmonton and in San Jose, where he was known as a go-to with the veterans. More so than the rookies and the younger players. And maybe he's adapted a little bit and he's getting the results. And then in Anaheim, I know that they have a bunch of older players. You still have Getzlaf there. You do have some good young pieces, though. You mentioned Zegras. They have an excellent goaltender in John Gibson, who, it's funny because on my show, Oiler fans keep texting in saying, what is it going to take to get John Gibson? What is it going to take to get John Gibson? I'm like, listen, Anaheim probably wants to build on John Gibson in the sweetheart contract that he has. You're not getting John Gibson from the Anaheim Ducks. He's probably one of the few pieces when the time comes for them to shake it up and really reset. He's probably one of the ones you're holding over because A, he's on a great deal, and B, he's an excellent goaltender. So I don't want to disparage Dallas Eakins too much, but he's a great AHL coach. And he's proven that time and time again. It hasn't quite connected at the NHL level. And this is his second go round. And you could point to the rosters he had in Edmonton. You could point to the roster he has in Anaheim. But it, I don't know. He's not making lemonade out of lemons and never really has before. So we'll see where that goes. But I'm surprised to hear that Anaheim thinks it could still make a push for the playoffs. I guess if you look at the standings, they're not that far out of it, but they've dropped a bunch of games in a row, and they're going in the wrong direction at the wrong time.
Yeah, they If they don't believe it, they're really good at lying to everyone to make us think that they are going somewhere with that team. Well, thank you for indulging me, for letting me spin a little bit of Southern California hockey into the show.
I love it.
we'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe the Kings will keep winning and I'll have to make you talk about my team some more in the future.
Absolutely.
So keep tuning into Locked On NHL for that. For people who want to hear more from you, who maybe are Ducks fans who want to see what Edmonton wants to give them for John Gibson. Can they find you and all your shows and all that stuff out there online?
Yeah, you can catch me at Tom Gazzola on TSN 1260 Edmonton. Every Oilers game day, I do the pre and post game show. And then my good friend, Dusty Nielsen, who is our morning show host, and I do the oil stream. So if you're that curious about Connor McDavid and the Oilers, every Wednesday and Friday at around noon Mountain Time, which is 1 Central, 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific. We go for about 20 to 25 minutes and we shoot the breeze. And you can catch me on NHL Network from time to time. There, I think I went through all of them, Sarah. And then sometimes I'm even on Locked On Oilers still. I hop on with Hernan Salas like old times when I used to host it, but I'm all over the place, you know.
It's like a Where's Waldo, only
yeah.
different.
No striped hat.
Exactly. Well, maybe for the holidays, someone will get you one. So,
yeah.
You know, for the next outdoor game, you got to go to.
Fine. Deal. I'll do it. I'm all for it. Yeah.
I like it. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. The show's on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. You can give us a follow there. Make sure you're subscribed to the show if you haven't already. Tell your friends all about it and come back tomorrow for more hockey news on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.